Father, we humble ourselves today. We thank you for the utterance. We ask you for utterance today from the Holy Spirit. I pray for divine revelation to flood our hearts and our minds. And we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Mark Hankins said this one time. I'll never forget it because he grew up in church. You know, he's a full-time traveling minister and has been for many years. His dad was a pastor. He grew up in church. And he said that it seemed back in those days in the 60s and 70s, he said that they were always having dedication. They'd rededicate and rededicate. And he says, man, I rededicated till my dedicator wore out. And he just said, it just didn't seem like I would hear a good sermon on Sunday, but then I would go back to the same way on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and it just didn't seem to change me. And he said, the Lord said something to him one time, and I'll never forget it. He said, son, he said, there can be no dedication to me without a revelation. And so the Lord began to give him revelation about the scripture and how it affects. Revelation is a simple, it just simply means something revealed to you, like, oh, I get that. You know, you grasp it. It's kind of like if you've been reading a scripture before, and maybe you've read it before hundreds of times or whatever, several times, and all of a sudden you see it in a different light. It could be a sermon, and you're like, wow, I didn't see that before. It happened to me last week. I heard somebody sharing something. I'm like, I had never seen that before, and I've read that scripture I don't know how many times. What is that? That's called revelation knowledge, amen? And Jesus said it's that revelation knowledge. He was talking to Peter. He said that knowledge that was revealed from heaven to Peter about he being the Christ, that was this rock that Jesus said, I'll build my church on this rock, not on Peter. He wasn't talking about Peter because he ended up denying the Lord, amen? And then he got right with God again. But the revelation of who Christ is and who the Word is, that's what causes us to rise up. And today we're just one revelation away from victory in our lives. See, if we have a need, we have a physical need, a financial need, a marital need, or whatever the case is, all we are is just one revelation away from getting the answer that we need to get victory. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what I'm believing here for today is revelation knowledge. So we're entitled this series, Living from the Inside Out. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is our main scripture that we've used, kind of like a launch pad to go from here in different directions. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul said this, and I, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. Notice that. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're for learning's sake, we're breaking this apart because man is, as I said before, and I'm just reviewing a little bit here, man is a... Did you bring that thing I asked you to bring this morning? Okay. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, you sure didn't bring mine. This is yours, but it'll work. Okay. You'll see where I'm going with this in a minute. It's pink, so I know it's not mine, okay? But notice the phrase here that Paul uses. I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless until when? Until Jesus comes back. Okay? Now, notice that there's three parts here, spirit, soul, and body. Now, this is talking about the nature of man, you and I, that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a physical body. Okay? And we've been breaking separating these to show you the difference between each one of these things. Now, your spirit and your soul and your body all need nourishment. They need fed. Your body needs food to survive, right? Well, your spirit needs spiritual food. That's the Word of God. And your soul is your mind and your will and your emotions. Okay, that's where you make the decisions. That's what we're focusing on right now. We already talked about the spirit for a couple of weeks. And now we're going to talk about the soul of man. Now, man, with his body, he contacts the physical realm. right? With your spirit, you contact the spiritual realm. Now, that's not being spooky or anything. That's where God's realm, amen? God is a spirit in John chapter 4, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. And when you became a child of God, when you became born again, and you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, took up residence inside of you. You are not alone. Amen? I know when E.T. came out, that was the signature saying, you are not alone. Now, it's talking about aliens. Okay? But we're not talking about aliens here. We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. You are never alone. I heard someone way back in the day, you know, when I first got saved, and it helped me greatly. And they talked about practicing the presence of God. And they made it so simple that even I could get it. A third grader could get it. And that was to practice God's presence wherever you're at. So I just began to do that. And I got my driver's license. I'd drive around. I'd look over in the passenger seat. And I would say, Lord, what do you have to say about this situation? Now, I didn't see him physically, okay? But I know he was there. And I'd say, Lord, what about this situation here? I'm going through the situation here. I need your wisdom. I need your direction on this. And it was almost like, and I couldn't hear it with these ears, but I heard down on the inside of me these words come up in here. I didn't hear it with my physical ears, but inside me, I heard these encouraging words, and he would speak to me. And you know, I found that the Lord loves to speak to his kids. I heard from heaven driving out here this morning. Now, there was nothing spectacular about that. There was no fireworks going off, but it was supernatural. And sometimes we can miss the supernatural because we're wanting the spectacular. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus, an angel can appear to you, and Jesus could appear. He's done that to people before, you know. But that's the exception, not the norm. The primary way that God leads all of his children is by the inward witness, inward impression. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, he speaks to you in here. Now, the devil, on the other hand, he's out here in the natural, speaking into your head, into your mind. Negative, unproductive, destructive thoughts. Okay? People talk about people that are, you know, suicidal and things like that and what have you. Those are not just thoughts that come from within, like your own thoughts. Okay? There's evil spirits, there's demons, devils that are in this earth that influence people by impressions, by thoughts, okay, that come to them. And I've watched people through the years and helped several people with the help of the Holy Spirit through the years that had issues with this. And they thought that those thoughts were just coming from within. Like they thought they were their thoughts. And when I was able to show them and distinguish between, no, wait a minute, you had this destructive thought about yourself. You wanted to hurt yourself or cut yourself or do this, you know. And I began to show them, look, that's an evil spirit telling you to do this. And that's not just you. And when they realized that, they were, so that's not me? That's half the battle right there. That's not me coming up with that thought. Has anybody here ever had a bad thought, since you became a Christian, ever have a bad thought before? About yourself or about other people? How about even today? Well, you know, we have to distinguish, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we have to pull those thoughts, those strongholds down. And when Satan comes, he comes, you know, with a thought. The primary way that the enemy of our soul, the devil, and demon spirits, the way that they bring temptation to us is through a thought. Because thoughts are spiritual. You can't see them, but they're thoughts. They come your way. And anything that robs or kills or destroys or this destructive in that thought, okay, if we stop the thought in its tracks, the action won't take place. How many people in the last umpteen years now, last 5 years, you hear on TV about mass shootings and stuff like that, going into schools and churches and whatever, you know, and, you know, where did that thought originate? It didn't start with them. It started with a devil and with an evil spirit that put that thought in someone's mind, and they acted on that thought, thinking they were doing the right thing. Are you with me now? Well, that's how the enemy influences people, but We're talking about the soul of man today, and we have to protect our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, our thoughts. That's our soul, okay? And if our soul is up for sale, the highest bidder is going to go for it, and that's the devil. Amen? Well, Pastor, I just can't help think on this. I just can't help thinking on this. You know, well, yes, we have power to choose what we're going to think on. Matter of fact, Philippians chapter 4, Paul said this. He said, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honest. And notice this, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We have a choice, folks, every day what we're going to think upon. Now, every day, every one of us will have some type of negative thought that will try to come to us. But you can get to the place where you're like, that's not my thought. I don't receive that. I rebuke that thought. That's not my thought. Amen. But you can choose the right thoughts, and you can choose heavenly thoughts. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to 3 John chapter 2 for a minute here. 3 John. I'll try to use this here, but you know, you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. Now, the real you is a spirit man. Okay, you look around, you see each other's physical body and so forth. That's what you see is the physical. But inside that body is a spiritual part, and it looks just like you, except a whole lot better. When you leave this earth and you go to heaven, that's the part of you that leaves is your spirit man, and it looks just like you. Now, your body is not the real you. It's just the house that you actually live in. This is just the house. This is just the shell. Paul called it the outward man, but he called the spirit the inward man. Peter called it the hidden man of the heart. That's your spirit. And when you're born again, your spirit is alive unto God. Now, if you take the spirit out of any human being that's in this room right now, if you take your spirit out of your body will collapse and fall to the ground because your body has no way to express itself without your spirit. And James says it like this. He says, faith without works is dead, even as the body without the spirit is dead. Okay? They call that physical death, is when a person's spirit leaves their body. In many cases, people have left when they had been on the operating table and they died and came back. They saw them, said, looked down, and they saw their body on the operating table. I thought, man, I look bad. But how am I looking at me? Because the spirit part left. That's the real you, and you're just looking at the flesh. Now this, wish I would have brought my other glove here. Just, I can get one finger in this thing. But you know, that's not my glove, okay? Now this glove is like your physical body. This glove has no power to move on its own unless something in it moves, okay? And let's just say this body is my spirit, okay? And whichever way I move my hand, spirit, so goes the glove, body. If I lift it up, if I raise it down, if I move it, the glove moves. But if I take this body off, this glove off, and I lay it down, it has no power to do anything on its own. It has no power. That's your physical body. Amen? But your spirit, that's the real you. And today in church, that's why we need messages and sermons from heaven that are going to teach and instruct people's spirits so that you grow spiritually. You know, there's a lot of people that like to just go to be entertained in church. Now, don't get me wrong. You can be entertained in church, okay? You don't have to be bored. But primarily, why do we come to church? We come to church so that we can get fed the word of the living God from a pastoral anointing. Are you with me now? That's what Jesus talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. That he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now it's amazing because every one of those five, we call it the fivefold ministry gifts, every one of those gifts are traveling except the pastor. The apostle travels. The prophet travels. The evangelist travels. But the pastor is there with the sheep. And that doesn't mean that the pastor can't do a mission trip once in a while or anything like that. But the primary job of a pastor is to feed sheep. Everybody go, bah. Jesus said, you're my sheep. He's the great shepherd. Well, he also likens pastors to shepherds, okay, that watch over your souls to teach you and instruct you in the things of God. Amen. Now, I thank God that at a young age, I got involved in a church where there was a shepherd there. What they would fed me the word of God. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't be where I'm at if it had not been for those men and their wives. Amen. But 3 John 2 says this, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. We looked at this last week. Now notice, this is the will of God, that we prosper and that we be in health. Actually, if you have a translation that says, I pray above all things. Anybody have a translation that says that? That's actually, it says wish in the King James, but it's actually pray. I pray above all things that you would prosper financially. Number 2, be in health. Amen. I don't know about those preachers that preach prosperity and health. Listen, take it up with Apostle John, because it started in the Bible, amen? It's not something that some preacher came up with, amen? Now listen, you look at the Old Testament saints and followers of God, not one of them were poor. I mean, they're filthy rich. Look at Abraham. My goodness. Amen? Look at Solomon. Look at Job. Richest people in the East. And they follow God. Amen. Well, God wants us to prosper. That's His will. Now, in order to move in that direction, we have to believe what God's will is first. Okay? There's enough people out there that don't believe in that. God just wants you poor. He wants you to just have enough for yourself, you know. Listen, if I just have enough to meet my own needs, how am I going to be a blessing to someone else? I can't. If I have just enough to meet my needs alone, how in the world am I going to bless someone else that needs it? It can't happen. So I want some overflow so that I can be a blessing and a conduit for God to bless other people. And that's why I believe in prosperity. Not just so that I can drive a nice big car. Nothing. God's not opposed to that, by the way. God wants you to have nice things. He just doesn't want the things having you. Okay? God could care less if you drive a Rolls Royce. He doesn't care. Amen. Now that, some of you choked at that one, didn't you? See, God doesn't care if you drive a nice car. He doesn't care if you wear nice clothes. Amen. You just want to make sure He's first. If He's first, then He's first. But He says, and be in health. That doesn't mean you get sick and then get healed. It means you stay in a constant state of divine health. That's God's highest and best. Now, if you're not in an atmosphere where you're hearing that, you can never attain to it. And what you criticize, you will never possess. There are people that criticize. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people have abused the message of prosperity. Okay? But that doesn't do away with the real thing. How many of you know there's counterfeit money out there in the world right now, in Pittsburgh right now? Does that stop you from spending your money? Does it? No. Just because there's something fake and false and counterfeit doesn't mean it does away with the real thing. Amen? And I believe God wants us in this church to prosper. Amen? Wouldn't it be great if you had enough money to say, you know, I'm just going to drop a check in the mail today, in the offering today, for $1 million. For our building. Amen?
Amen.
$1 million. Why can't that happen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. The Lord told Jesse Duplantis one time, he saw a jet plane flying over his head, and he was barely making it driving a little car that he had, you know. And the Lord showed him, he goes, I want you to have one of those jets. And he kind of choked. He's like, I can't even put gas in my car. This is years ago. Remember him talking about this. And the Lord interrupted me. He said, now look, Jesse, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe me for it. There's a big difference there. God's not asking us to pay for it. He's asking us to believe for it, because He can bring the resources and the money into our hands to do whatever we're called to do. And there's no pressure. See, I don't believe in putting pressure on people at all, because God doesn't do that to us. But you know, if God positions us and rearranges things and does certain things, I mean, you can become a millionaire overnight. Amen. Any one of you in this room right now. Amen. Amen? Yes. Well, Pastor, I just don't know how that's going to happen. I just can't. That's right. You can't figure it out. You're not supposed to try to figure it out. Okay? We're not to be head-led. We're to be spirit-led. And I'll tell you, God can get things to us that we never dreamed possible. I've watched that happen in my life through the years. I thought, God, how's that ever going to happen? How's that ever going to take place? And He just pulls one out of His sleeve, so to speak. Oh, I didn't see that coming. Amen? And I'll tell you, we just need to get back on our faith. We need to get back on our, and I mean, we're just reaching out. We're trusting God for every little thing that we need. If you need a new vehicle, trust God. He's going to get one to you. Praise God. You need a new suit of clothes. Trust God. He's going to somehow get it to you. Amen. And by the way, if God blesses you, you know, you don't have to be apologetic about it. And so, well, I bought it on sale, and you know, I went down to the store down the street, and I got 25% off, 50% off. You don't have to apologize for being blessed. You don't have to feel bad or guilty about it, for that matter. Amen. I know we've all had to deal with that at times, right? But notice that John says, I pray that you would prosper and be in health. Notice this, even as thy soul prospereth. That's very interesting. Notice, we will not prosper or be in health unless we have a prosperous soul. Unless we have a prosperous, say a prosperous soul.
Prosperous soul.
Okay, what is a prosperous soul? See, if I have a prosperous soul and you have a prosperous soul, then it's just a matter of time before it catches up to your body. It catches up to your bank account. That's what that scripture's saying right there. But it starts with a prosperous soul. Now, we have to understand, we have to put spiritual things first. Okay? It's not like, well, if I have five jobs, then I can finally do something. You know, put God first. Guard that above all things. Your walk with God, your fellowship with God, your church life, your prayer life, the things of God. Guard that more than anything else. Amen? And I found you got to do that. You have to guard that, because everybody's going to be jockeying for your time and your attention. Everybody's going to be pulling at you, even well-meaning people. But you got to guard your priorities. As pastor, I'm saying this, you have to guard your priorities. And if you guard your priorities and you put God first, then I'll tell you what would normally take 25 years to get to, you can get almost overnight. Because the Holy Ghost and God will move, and angels will move on your behalf. Thank you, Lord. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He said, He said, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Right? He says, check out the flowers, the posies. He said, there's not one flower that's, you know, Solomon, he was comparing Solomon. He said he was magnificently dressed. He said, but that's pale in comparison to how God clothed the flowers. And he said, if God clothed the flowers and God feeds the ravens and the birds, he says, how much more is he going to clothe us and take care of us? But here's the key. Matthew 6:33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There are people that are sitting home today trying to figure out, God, how am I going to get this need met? When if they just put God first, then they're putting themselves in a position where God can meet that need. But when people try to do, and I know from personal experience, when you try to do it yourself and you try to conjure up your ways of doing things, you just get frustrated. Frustration is a red flag, so to speak, to show you or indicate to you that you're trying to do something in your own strength. Anybody here ever been frustrated before? Just a couple. All right. Frustration is a red flag and a signal, because I've been there more times than I'd like to think. Amen? But I'm learning, hallelujah. But frustration is a telltale sign that you're trying to do something, that you need something, but you're trying to do it in your own strength. So you're wringing your hands, you're worrying about it, you're trying to do it. But worry, when did worry change anything? Nothing. It never made you healthier. It never got your kids back, your dog back. Amen. Hey, if you want your dog back, your truck back, and everything else back, just play a country song in reverse. It'll all come back. But no, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first, say first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And all these natural things, he says in the Amplified, will be added to you. They're going to come back to you. So in other words, he could say it like this in Matthew 6:33. If you want something natural, do something spiritual. If you want natural things to be added unto, he said, seek first. That's spiritual. So what you do in the spiritual realm directly affects the natural realm and how things are either going to go away from you or come to you. Praise God. I told you we prayed for revelation today, didn't we?
Yes.
I wasn't even planning on saying that. But here's another thing, that when you're seeking first God in your prayer time and you're spending time with the Lord or reading your scriptures or whatever the case may be, I can tell you this. There is going to be a prevailing thought that will try to come at your head and tell you that you're wasting your time. Don't waste your time. You're not. What good is this doing? Amen. I just prayed in the Spirit for 15 minutes. What good is that doing? Well, the Bible says you build up yourself on your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, if the Bible says I build myself up, then I'm going to do it. Amen. So godliness, the Bible says, is profitable. And if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap from the Spirit. If we need physical healing in our bodies, what we need to do is sow into the Spirit, the Word of God, get scriptures to talk about God's will to heal us. That was one scripture we just read right there, that we be in health. That's a powerful scripture. And I read that and I think, that's God talking to me. Amen? I renew my mind with the Word of God. Now, what time is it here? My goodness. I wrote down here that we will only prosper and be in health to the degree that our soul prospers. Amen? So, I'm going to equip you this morning. The Holy Ghost is actually equipping you this morning. That the next time you come to church or you read your Bible or you pray, you will be aware of the fact that the enemy of your soul will try to tempt you and tell you you're wasting your time. It's not going to do any good. What good's it going to do if you pray? It'll still be in the same position. He'll lie to you because the devil is a liar.
Amen.
Jesus said he's a liar.
Yeah.
And we must not make his lies. We must bring it to light and say, no, I don't believe that. Yeah. I'm not going to believe a lie. See, if I believe the devil's lie, I will be tormented. If I believe a devil's lie, I'm going to be in fear. I'm going to be afraid. But if I believe what God says, and I listen to the inward witness, and I read the Word of God, the Lord talks victory when everybody else is talking defeat. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is so positive. He is so ultra positive that he makes Norman Vincent Peale look like a pessimist. He wrote that book, The Power of Positive Thinking. By the way, that's a great book. You know, he's a born-again man, you know. But it's more than just, the Holy Spirit is so ultra-positive that he will never talk you into defeat. He'll lift you out. Amen? Many, many, many times, I can't even count how many times, where inside me, just the inward witness, I've had the Lord say, you get up and you're starting your day and you're kind of slow moving and stuff. And I hear the Lord say, we're going to have a great day today, aren't we? And I hear it, not with these ears, but inside me. I said, yes. Yes. Now, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every fact be established, right? So God already said in his word, right? So then we agree with the word, it becomes established. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, and it's already came from heaven. God's word came from heaven. He's just looking for someone, you and I, that will agree with it and say, I believe that. That settles it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when the Lord says, we're going to have a great day today. I've never heard the Lord say, it's going to be a depressing day today. Pull the blind down. Get some chocolate cake. Because you're in for a haul here. I've never had the Lord say that. See, depression and oppression. Depression is a state of mind. It's thoughts that have not been pulled down. Okay? But when you recognize, whoa, those thoughts, you know, because depression doesn't, it's not just because of a, more often than not, it's not just a chemical imbalance. It's thoughts that have not been cast down. Bad thoughts. And more often than not, when the devil brings you a bad thought, usually, you know, he's trying to get you to anticipate something that hasn't even taken place yet. Right? Hasn't even happened yet, but he's working on something. He's bringing something up in your mind, some negative thing. Well, this is going to happen. You're going to lose your job. That's going to happen. You're going to lose everything you got. You're going to die of some dreaded disease or whatever. You know, no, that's not my thought. Amen? Now, my grandfather on my mother's side, you know, he moved to heaven in 1979, the year I graduated from high school. Now, he got saved from a preacher, I believe, in his very last days. But he came down with colon cancer, and it just ate him up, literally. And my mother, we'd always be going over there. I was just in high school. I'd go over there, and we'd take care of my grandfather. And it was pitiful. I never saw anything like that in my life, personally. And I watched him get down to basically skin hanging on a skeleton. That's what he looked like. And I didn't even like going there. You know what I mean? It was just, you know, I didn't know a whole lot back then. I was saved, but I didn't know a whole lot about God and the Word of God. Well, after going there several times with my mother, you know, because she was taking care of her father and so forth, and her sister and my grandmother as well, I all of a sudden I got this thought. Now, I didn't understand back then in those days. I didn't understand the difference between Satan's thoughts and God's thoughts. I had no idea. I wasn't taught. I had no revelation of this. But here's what happened. I got this thought, and it was the devil, now that I know, looking back. And the devil spoke to my, not literally, but audibly, but with a thought in my mind. He said, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to die of the same disease. You're going to get cancer. You're going to die from this someday. And you know what? I didn't tell a soul that. Didn't talk to anybody about it. But in 1981, I got into a church that was teaching the Word of God with revelation knowledge. And the pastor, it's like he read my mail. And he was talking about thoughts, imaginations, strongholds, how the Bible says it starts with a thought, then it becomes an imagination, then it becomes a stronghold, and you have to cast those things down, and you have to look at it and say, wait a minute, is this thought from God or is this thought from the devil? I had never heard that before. And all of a sudden I realized that thought, the devil put it in me a few years before that when my grandfather passed away, I realized that was a satanic thought, a stronghold to try to get involved in my life. And I didn't mention it to anybody, but it was a fear that was deep-seated in me, all right? And once I realized through the light of God's Word and revelation, I realized, whoa, wait a second here. That was the enemy that sowed that thought. Remember Jesus talked about the enemy sowing tares among the wheat, you know? Well, he sows tares, that's bad stuff, all right? Wheat's good. But he tries to sow tares in your mind and your thinking that's what's going to happen to you. But when the light bulb turned on, I pulled the chain down. How many have a room like that? You walk into a closet, you pull the chain or whatever, the rope, you know, and it's like, oh, there's the light. The light came on and I realized, wait a second here. That was the devil putting that thought in my mind that was going to happen to me. And I was able to get in there and say, we're going to clean house right now. Just like spring cleaning. We're going to get rid of that stuff. I realized where that thought came from. I cast it down. That's not my thought in the name of Jesus. Then I got a new stronghold, a good stronghold that Psalm 91 says, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Long life. Hallelujah. See, a stronghold isn't necessarily evil or bad. Nahum says God is our stronghold in the time of need. So you can get a good thought and it become a good stronghold on you. And it'll control the way you act, the way you think. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, we got some good strongholds going here this morning. Amen. Because I believe with all of my heart that healing is bigger than sickness. Righteousness is bigger than sin. God is bigger than the devil. Nothing Satan has to offer is greater than God. Nothing. Not one thing. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Listen, where sickness abounds, health does much more abound. Do you see that? And it's all from the Word of God. Praise God. I got about 2 minutes to wrap this up here. Let's just go to Romans real quick here. This will be our last scripture. Romans chapter 12. Didn't get in a half of what I was going to get into today, but that's all right because we're being led by the Spirit, aren't we? Praise God. Why is it so important to renew your mind or your soul? The psalmist in Psalm 23 says he restores our soul, right? Now, you get a brand new spirit when you get born again, but your soul, you restore your soul. Now, has anybody here ever seen a vehicle or a piece of furniture that's been restored? You know, a piece of wood or furniture, you know? I know my mother, she had gotten a rocking chair from my grandmother who was, I mean, it goes way back generations. Now my sister has this chair. But this chair was built in the 1800s. I mean, the mid-1800s. So it's been around a few years. But when they initially got that chair, it was an absolute mess. But somebody refinished it and repainted it and whatever they did to it, you know, and it looked really, it was restored. But it's still the same chair. Okay? Your spirit isn't restored. Your spirit is renewed. It's brand new. But your soul can be restored. And here's where I'll leave you here today. But in Romans 12, you know this scripture well enough. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, where Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, so he's writing to Christians here, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, notice this, by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So it's interesting here because Paul, writing this to the Romans and us today as well, he didn't say anything about the spirit part of man here. He says, present your bodies. Secondly, he says, renew your minds. Right? He says nothing about the spirit. Why? Because when you get born again, your whole spirit belongs to God. Wall to wall, Holy Ghost, your spirit. And so that leaves two-thirds of you that has to be dealt with. The main part of you has changed, drastically changed. You're born again. Your spirit man is born again. But now we've got to do something with our minds, and then secondly, we've got to do something with our bodies. So how do we get this all lined up? Why is renewing the mind so important? Because we can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? Can I have an amen? Amen. So we renew, and I'll get more into this next Sunday, Lord willing. We renew our minds by thinking on God's Word. We renew our minds by thinking and replacing. I'll call it the law of replacement. Instead of the old way of thinking, that we put God's thoughts in our minds. God's Word. And I'll tell you this, one scripture, if you just take one scripture, I mean, there's enough power in one scripture to blow a hole through hell in one scripture. There's so much power in one verse of scripture and just one word. that if you put that thought in your mind and you say it out your mouth, the devil's no match for you. He's no match for you. And that's why it's so important to start to renew our minds by just starting with one scripture. Amen? Let's just take, for example, Philippians 4:13, where the Apostle Paul said this. He says, I can do all things what? Now, he didn't say I can do all things because I'm an apostle, because then we'd be at a disadvantage. Right? He says, no, I can do all things through what? Christ. Now, Christ was not Jesus' last name. Christ means the anointed one. Okay? So Paul said, I can do all things through the anointing, which strengthens me. So if you take that one scripture alone, and you chew on that, you meditate on that, you speak it out of your mouth over and over and over again, that scripture, you will digest that scripture. Just like food, you know, it's not what you eat that makes you healthy, it's what you digest. And when you digest the scripture through meditation and you say what the Word of God says, all of a sudden you will find yourself, I can do this. And all of a sudden you'll find yourself empowered. There's been so many times in my life where I felt so weakened in situations where how are we going to do this? But when I rely, every time and any time that I rely upon the Lord, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, that anointing kicks in. It kicks in. Amen? Oh, my. Say this, I can
do all things
through Christ,
which strengthens me.
See, there's nothing you can't do. Oh, I can't do that, Pastor. I feel so weak. I can't do that. You can do all things through the anointed one who strengthens you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that just makes life so much better when we realize I don't have to do anything. You know, if you go to your job during the day or whatever you're doing, you know, you don't have to do it in your own strength. If you're going to go talk to somebody, you know it's going to be a difficult conversation or whatever. You don't have to go in your own strength. But the Lord's looking for people, and I believe He's found a group of people here that will not do things in their own strength, that will not yield to the arm of the flesh, but will yield themselves to the greater one, will yield themselves to the one that lives that you can't see with the natural eye, that lives on the inside of you, that will put you over. See, I can't even heal myself, but the greater one can. Greater is He. 1 John 4:4, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. You know, Lisa, I believe that you and your family on Tuesday, you're not going to go there in your own strength. You're not going to go. You may not feel right now. That's one thing I have to admit, that when I first started preaching, I was like, God, I don't feel anything. But it wasn't until I got up there and opened the Bible and began to talk, then I felt the anointing. I'm like, you could have brought that on to me 30 minutes before I started. Didn't feel a thing. But sometimes you just got to step out in faith and do it by faith, and then the anointing kicks in. Then the wisdom comes. What I'm sharing with you this morning, I'm telling you, I'm leaping out. I am out there on the edge of the board, trusting God for utterance for every word that I say. Amen? That used to scare the tar out of me when I first started 30-some years ago. But I've gotten more acclimated to yielding myself to God, that I'm trusting every word I say. Every word I say. Holy Spirit, inspire me. Give me the next word. Give me the next thought. Hallelujah. And we can all do that. Say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Praise the Lord. This will make your week, I guarantee you, it's going to make your week different than it was. Maybe you've had a rough couple of weeks. Well, it's gone. It's over. Something happened yesterday, it's over already. So don't dwell. Don't beat yourself up. Don't dwell on what happened, what you didn't do, what didn't happen. Don't worry about that. You can't change it anyway. But folks, I'm telling you, you have control over now and the future to a large degree. And so begin to declare every day, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And you get it down in your spirit. You get it, memorize it. It drops down in your spirit. It becomes a part of you. And so that when you face difficult situations, what normally seems so difficult will become easier. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand up. Amen. We're out of time. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, Pastor, I've been weary. I've been trying to do things on my own strength. But I want to start to now. I want to start just like you were talking about. I want to start doing things in the strength of God. Would you raise your hand right now if that's you? I want to do things in God's power, in God's might, in God's strength. All right. Now, everyone that raised their hand right now, Father, as we close today, I thank you for divine strength being imparted to each and every one now. Yes. They will not do things anymore in our own might, in our own strength, or in our own wisdom. And we thank you for that anointing, that yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God. Thank you for that, Father, right now. Thank you, Lord.